Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Friday, June 10th. If you've ever worried about being good enough for God, stay with us for a liberating message from the book of Galatians. Here's a solid understanding of the foundation of our liberty.
Would you turn to Galatians chapter 2? Galatians chapter 2, Paul is writing this letter to a group of Galatian churches and believers who've been all stirred up because some Judaizers from Jerusalem have come up and have told the Christians there that in order for them to be real, genuine Christians, in their terms, they would have to keep the law as well as trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so in this book, what he's doing, he's refuting that and explaining to them why that's not true. And in the first two chapters here, chapter and a half, he gives some historical background about the things that have happened. So beginning in verse 11, "But when Peter was come to Antioch," where Paul was, "I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that, certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation," or their playing the hypocrite. And that's really what he's accusing Peter of doing. "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compel you the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." Now let me just explain to you what's happening here. In this passage, you'll recall that the conflict of the church in that day was whether Gentiles would be accepted into the body of Christ on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ alone, or would they be required to keep the Mosaic law? And the whole future of the church centered on that one question. It was a crucial, critical time in the life of the New Testament church. And so on the basis of that, at this particular point, what he's doing here is recalling an incident that happened, that Peter came up to Antioch, and what he was doing there is he was acting like Paul and all the rest of them. That is, he was freed and liberated. But when the Jews came up from James, who was a strict adherent to the law and also the leader in the church in Jerusalem, then what Peter did, he got all fidgety, and he said, well, you know, I don't want to hurt their feelings. And so here he was on a dilemma. Was he going to live and exercise the freedom that he had in Jesus Christ, or was he going to bow to these Judaizers and come over to their side? And the scripture says that's exactly what he did. He was playing both sides right down the middle, and that won't work. And so Paul says, "I withstood him to his face." That is, Paul called Peter's hand. Now, what Paul said to him in response is the very heart and the key doctrine of this whole book. Not only that, it was the passage of Scripture and the book of the Reformation. It was the doctrine that kept Christianity from being an appendage to Judaism. And the 16th verse is the key. So this is really what Paul said. And if you and I could just take this verse and ponder on it and dwell upon it, only the Spirit of God could have jammed, crammed, packed so much truth, so much doctrine, so much deep understanding of the reality of redemption into one verse. Only God Almighty could have written Galatians 2:16. Now listen, Paul is talking to Peter and the rest of them. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, keeping the Mosaic law, trying to be good, do this, don't do that, go to church, do these things. He's not saved, not justified by the works of the law, by being good and doing better, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Well, I want you to see what this passage means, so let's begin. First of all, I want you to see, number one, the foundation of our liberty. And our liberty is we don't have to try to live up to something to please God. The very foundation of that, listen, can never be the keeping of the law or trying to be good or doing good works. Now, let me show you why that's true. Look, if you will, in Galatians chapter 3, and I want to show you why it's absolutely impossible for you to be saved unless you've trusted Jesus Christ by an act of your faith. Likewise, the reason I want you to understand this is that you've got a lot of friends and folks you work with, and they can just argue you down about how good they are. Now, if you'll jot down a few things and get it in your mind, don't go home and put this in a drawer. Get this in your mind, then you'll have something to come back to them with, not in an argumentative way, but to explain to them very, very simply. Look, if you will, in chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. But before faith came, that is the revelation of it, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. He says there was a time when the world didn't know this. Now listen, wherefore the law. Now let me just explain something. Let me get your attention a second. When I say the law, what he's speaking of here is the Mosaic law, ceremonial law, religious law, all the rest of it. In today's vernacular, that means you're trying to be good, trying to do things to make you acceptable unto God. So that's what we're talking about. Now listen. Wherefore the law, the old ceremonial law, the law of Moses, was our school teacher, our schoolmaster, given to us in order to bring us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith. Now listen, verse 25. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Now let me show you something. Paul is saying here, the law of Moses was never God's plan of salvation. The purpose of the law, listen, the purpose of the law was not to save us, but to bring us to the reality that man within himself is absolutely helpless to save himself. The Ten Commandments are beyond keeping within ourselves. There's no way to do it. Only as Jesus Christ is dwelling within you, living through you, only then will the Spirit of God be able to live through us a life that is in keeping with the law of God. It was never given to save us. I want you to get that straight to begin with. Somebody says, I keep the Ten Commandments. So what? It won't get you into heaven. I keep the law. So what? It won't get you to heaven. He says the very purpose of it wasn't to get you to heaven, but to bring you down to your knees, realizing, oh God, you are holy. I am sinful and wicked. And if you don't do something for me, there's no way for me to get to heaven. Now let me tell you something. If keeping the Ten Commandments and obeying the Mosaic law would not get a man saved, my dear friend, what in the world can you do within yourself? You're being good, you're being righteous, you're keeping rules and regulations of your church or your denomination. How in this world do you think that's going to make you acceptable to God? It won't do it. And there are multiplied hundreds of thousands of people who go to church every week who would swear on a stack of Bibles if you gave it to them. Are you going to heaven? Absolutely. Why do you think you're going to heaven? Man, I come to church every week. You know, I go through the ritual of my church. I give my money. Haven't killed anybody. Haven't run around. All of these things. And what they're saying is because I attempt to keep the law, that is my self-made law as I see it, righteous and moral as it is, as I attempt to keep the law, don't some preacher tell me I'm going to hell as good as I've been. What they don't realize is what they said is right. It's their law, their plan. It's not God's law nor God's plan. The second thing I want you to notice here is this. Listen, a man can only receive approval from God. He'll only be able to experience real liberty in this life when he understands and when he experiences justification. Now, let me tell you what justification is. Justification is an act of God whereby he declares a person guiltless. He declares a person acceptable. He declares a person vindicated from his past. Upon receiving Jesus Christ as his personal Savior by faith. Justification is the act, the instantaneous act, one-time act, eternal act of Almighty God, whereby upon that person receiving Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that person is declared approved, accepted, vindicated, and no longer guilty of his sin. I didn't say he hadn't been guilty. He was guilty. But Almighty God declares him not guilty. And the scripture says that you and I, upon being what? Upon being justified by his grace, we receive the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Listen, we receive the righteousness of Christ. I didn't say that all of our actions and all of our attitudes became righteous. I said we receive, we become clothed upon with the righteousness of Christ. Now let me explain that a little further. Remember what here's the key word. The key word is a declaration has been made. You have been declared once and for all acceptable in the eyes of God. That's what justification means. Paul said, no flesh shall be declared acceptable by keeping the law, because he can't. It is an act of God whereby he declares a man acceptable and vindicated and no longer guilty. Now, let me show you something. Regeneration involves the forgiveness of our sin. It involves a whole new nature. We say a man is regenerated. His spirit is different. He is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. In regeneration, a man has been given a new nature. He's a new what in Christ? New creature in Christ. Justification means that he has been given a new standing in Christ. Everything that you and I experience has its source and its divine energy in him. The only thing you and I can do is walk around with our hands up in the air saying, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory. You think about anything and everything that you have, anything and everything that has come from God, it's all because of him. Now, here's the question we have to ask and we have to answer. How could God, who is righteous, just, and holy? Now, holiness means that he cannot accept under any condition any form of sin. No way for him to do it. He's above that. Listen, now watch this word. The word just means that God, listen, that God by his very nature and character, so you can't tamper with that. Now, people can tamper with it verbally and philosophically, but they can't tamper with the nature of God in reality. How can God the Father remain just and holy and righteous as the judge of all life and look down on me and say, there's that Charles Stanley. Because he has received my Son, his Savior, I declare him not guilty, vindicated, acceptable into eternity forever and ever. How in the world can God do that and still be just? How could God still be God and at the same time declare a guilty man not guilty? Well, look in Romans chapter 3, if you will. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a sacrifice through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, holy, and at the same time the justifier of him who believes in Jesus Christ. So here's what Almighty God did in order to remain just. The righteous, holy God of the universe, looking down upon a guilty sinner, says, I declare you not guilty, vindicated, acceptable into the kingdom of God. Because having provided a substitute to pay your penalty, and that substitute paying the full consequence of your penalty, which was death, I, because you have been willing to accept him, I have transferred your guilt, your penalty, and your consequence to him. He has been punished for your sin. He has taken your penalty and your guilt, and therefore your having accepted his person, his death, his payment, I declare you not guilty and him guilty. He pays the penalty, you go free. That is the justifying process of God. And my friend, that's the only way to get to heaven. He says, no flesh shall be justified by the works of the law, but what? By justification of God through faith. There is no other way. Jesus Christ took the rap for every single person on the face of the earth. And those of us who have accepted him and his death and his punishment on the cross for our sins, we have been declared by Almighty God, the just judge of the universe, no longer guilty. Now listen, now watch this. Here's the impact. If Almighty God has declared you and me. Listen, now watch this, brother. I'm about to shout. Listen. If the God of this universe has declared you and me not guilty, vindicated, accepted, on the basis that he transferred my guilt and my sin to his son, Jesus Christ, what does that mean to you and me? We'll never have to do anything to be accepted. We've already been accepted. Secondly, we can't ever do, watch this. If you can't do anything to get accepted, do you know what the reverse of that is? You can't do anything to get unaccepted. Because you didn't get accepted by what you did or did not do. You got accepted by what he did. And listen, what he did was an eternal, everlasting, unchanging act of redemption. When the judge said, you have been made acceptable because of what he did. If what he did cannot change, then my relationship to Almighty God can never change. We don't have to live up to anything to be made accepted. We were accepted the day the blood of Jesus Christ dripped off of Calvary. And nothing we'll ever do as long as we'll live will ever change any of that. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
You can't ever do anything to change that. Therefore, listen, the motivation of everything you and I do ought to be our love and gratitude to God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Everything we do for him should never be the motivation of acceptance, the motivation of approval, the motivation of chalking up some points. It is all praise and honor and worship and thanksgiving and gratitude to Almighty God. He's done it all. All praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to The Foundation of Our Liberty. We would like to invite you to join us in celebrating 45 years of God's faithfulness. Stop by intouch.org/45 years to learn more. This podcast is a presentation of InTouch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.